Martin, thank you. Welcome to our special programme on the family and care referendums. We're with you until 7:30 this evening. And we'll be joined on the programme this evening by Roderick O'Gorman, Minister for Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth Affairs, who first proposed these referendums on family and care. Senator Michael McDougall, former Attorney General and Minister for Justice, who campaigned for a no vote in these referendums. Jennifer Kavanagh, law lecturer and author of a book on constitutional law, will be with us. Senator Tom Clonan, disability rights advocate who campaigned for a no vote in the care referendum. And we did have a commitment from Orla O'Connor, director of the National Women's Council, to speak to us on this programme. But shortly before we came on air, Ms O'Connor's press officer told us that she was no longer available this evening. Let's go to Dublin Castle first and get a summary of what we know so far. We can talk to our reporter there, Barry Lenehan. Barry, take us through the latest information available.
Yes, this finish wasn't anticipated. An emphatic no with political bloody noses for a slew of high-profile figures in cities, towns and in particular in rural Boreeds. To recap what we just heard for Barry Ryan, the returning officer there, 16,000 spoilt votes, a total valid poll of 1,509,110, 487,564,000 in favour of the proposal, but 1,021,546 against, meaning a majority against the family referendum of over 500,000 people. In terms of percentages, it worked out as 67.7% no. It's the first no vote in a referendum in this country in 9 years since 2015. The first count that came in was for Dún Laoghaire. That was a yes vote by 50.2% yes. And that's the only yes vote we've had across all 37 constituencies. The rest to come in all no, rather emphatically in some places. The highest no's: Donegal 80%, Cavan Monaghan 78%, Laois Offaly, Mayo, Longford West Meath all in around 75%. Indeed, not only was there just one yes vote, only three constituencies provided any meaningful contests between the two sides, with Dublin Bay South and Dublin Rathdown narrowly voting no. The rest all rather emphatic. The turnout came in at 44.4%. This is down 20 percentage points in the last standalone referendum in 2018. The lowest turnout was in Meath West, which was 39.7%. That's the home county of the Fianna Fáil Director of Elections, Thomas Byrne. The highest was in Wicklow, 51%. Dublin, 60% no across the 11 constituencies. Leinster, 69%. Munster, 68% no. Connacht, Ulster, 74.3% no. Mary Lou MacDonald, the Sinn Féin leader, her constituency Dublin Central was 58% no, with her backyard of Cabra showing a majority of 85% against both the family and care referendums. Cork South Central, three cabinet ministers there, 61% no, and Dublin West, the home of Roderick O'Gorman and Leo Varadkar, 63% no. One other point to note is the scale of the no vote in rural areas. Parts of rural Donegal, 10-1 no. Killeshandra in County Cavan, 80% no. Barnajarrig outside Tuam in Galway, 88%. Scarta Glen in County Kerry, 85%. Okay. And Sheena Rinca in Tipperary, 91%. What's happening now is counts will be declared rather rapidly in the care referendum in the count centres right across the country. People had to wait for the final results to be declared in the family referendum before that could proceed. So expect a final declaration in that pretty soon as well.
All right, Barry, thank you very much for joining us there from Dublin Castle. Let's get a first reaction to today's referendum result and speak with Minister Roderick O'Gorman, who first proposed these referendums. Minister, good evening and thank you for joining us today.
Good evening, Justin. Thanks for having me on.
This was a political thumping by any measure. What went wrong for you today?
Yeah, look, absolutely, it was a thumping. Obviously, I'm deeply disappointed with the result of both referendums. When the government puts a proposal to amend the constitution to the people, it is up to government to make that case for the amendment. And it's clear we didn't succeed on either proposals today. We have to accept that decision. I think there's probably a range of reasons for the two very clear no votes. and government are going to have to reflect on those reasons. I think any decision or any thought of revisiting the constitutional issue with different wording, look, that's going to have to be a matter for a future government. But I suppose the one thing I would say is, notwithstanding the results on the constitutional referendums today, the policy work that government has pursued and continues to pursue in the areas of care, disability, supporting families, that policy work will continue.
Was this not simply a case of people saying, yes, we understand what we're voting for here, but we don't like it. We don't want to put something into our constitution which is so ambiguous and so clear that we don't know what the results of it would be?
I think, particularly in the last week, I think it was clear that the questions, the queries that the no side had raised in the course of the referendum, those of us on the yes side hadn't done enough to reassure people. And I think the Irish people feel strongly about the constitution. You know, we, unlike most European countries, the people have the direct say in terms of amendment to the constitution and want to feel certainty in terms of the changes that are making. You know, myself and colleagues across government and colleagues on the yes side made the argument why these changes were needed and what they would do. But, you know, queries were raised by the no side and we clearly weren't successful in providing the reassurance that people want when they're changing the constitution.
Do you accept, though, Minister, that the campaign run by you and by the government was a bad campaign? It lacked energy, it lacked coherence. And even you yourself, you were absent for a lot of it. You weren't seen on the media. You weren't out there arguing your case until very close to the end of the referendum campaign.
Well, I definitely wouldn't agree with you on that, Justin. I've been out on many shows on radio, on TV over the last number of weeks, and even before the amendments were going through the Oireachtas. So I certainly wouldn't agree with that. I was also very active in my own constituency on doors, at train stations, making the case. But ultimately, we weren't successful in persuading people of the merits of the proposal, and we weren't successful in terms of reassuring people where the no side had raised issues. And I think, unlike maybe the last two major referendums we had on repeal of the Eighth Amendment, on marriage equality, the urgency of the issue wasn't felt by people. People knew, I suppose, the strong case built up over decades about allowing women the right to choose. People knew the case in terms of allowing same-sex couples the right to access the institution of marriage. And there was a sense of urgency around the Yes campaign in both those referendums. And look, that didn't exist in this campaign.
In hindsight, Minister, was it a mistake not to simply, on Article 41, the women in the home clause in the Constitution, was it simply a mistake not to take that wording out of the Constitution and just delete it without replacing it with other wording?
Well, I think that question speaks to the complexity of what we're trying to do here, because the view of the Citizens' Assembly was that pure deletion would have been a mistake. It would have been a lost opportunity. And their recommendation on that point was strongly not just delete, but delete and replace something that places that gives that recognition to care by everybody, under care undertaken by everybody within our constitution. And likewise, when I think there was a proposal in the last Dáil to bring a referendum for just deletion, and it was felt that there wasn't sufficient support in the Dáil just to delete, that there was a requirement to put something else in. We brought forward a proposal I believe and government believed would have been meaningful in terms of protection of care. But look, the people haven't felt that was some people feel it didn't go far enough. Others argued that the existing text in terms of a woman's life in the home should be retained. So particularly, I think, on the care referendum, there is a diversity of reasons why people voted no.
On Thursday, the Ditch website published legal advice to you from the Attorney General, Rossa Fanning, in which he said to you that it's difficult to predict with certainty how the Irish courts would interpret the concept of other durable relationships. Yet you'd been out saying that the meaning of durable relationships was clear when you knew the advice from the government's lawyer was that it was anything but clear?
No, he did not say it was anything but clear. I think he spoke in terms of absolute certainty. I don't think any legal advice that I've ever seen will tell you, provide you absolute certainty on a point. But if you look at that legal advice, and it's a 12-page document in its totality, it backs up the arguments I and the government were making in terms of the meaning of durable relationships, in terms of the its potential impact or lack of impact on other policy areas. And it also very strongly backed up what we were saying in terms of the amendment of care would provide meaningful supports for family carers if it was litigated. So when you look at the full text of that legal advice, and that again is only one part of the legal advice given to the Attorney General by the Attorney General to government over the course of this campaign, it strongly supports the argument put forward by government.
That advice, the Attorney General also said in relation to the care amendment, he said that that could lead to litigation in the areas of health, childcare, social protection, education and immigration. You never told people about those implications. Why not?
On the article on care, I very much said that I believe that this could have significant implications in cases taken by the courts. That was one of the court arguments I put forward, that this was a meaningful argument. And what the Attorney General said was there can be little doubt that the obligation on the state to strive to support the provision of care will have real effects, which will be enforced by the courts. So I actually disagree with you on that point, Justin. But on the point of immigration, again, quoting directly from the advice of the Attorney General, he said, in my view, it's unlikely that we'll have any particular significant effect on this area.
Did your department leak that document?
Of course not.
Are you concerned about it? Are you going to investigate it?
Of course I'm concerned where advice from the Attorney General is leaked. It's hugely frustrating, and it damages the ability of government to reach decisions.
Will it be investigated?
I imagine the Department of Taoiseach will look at the issue. But look, it's hugely frustrating to see it leaked, and leaked at a time in the campaign when people aren't even able to properly, address it due to the moratorium.
With such a resounding failure today, Minister, a campaign that failed miserably, which you led and which you're responsible for, are you reflecting on your own position today? Is your position tenable as the author of a proposal which was so roundly rejected by the people of Ireland today?
Look, I've worked hard on this campaign. I've made the case on TV, on radio, and on the doors. I have to accept that the public didn't agree with my position, with the position of the government on these two proposals. Governments have lost referendums in the past. It's a vote on one, or in this case, two specific issues. But I'll be continuing my work on a broad range of areas, as I say, supporting families, supporting children, supporting those with a disability in terms of the policy work that we're delivering on in my department.
All right. Minister Roderick O'Gorman, thank you for talking to us this evening. We do appreciate
Justin.
Your time. Let's go now to Dublin Castle, and we can speak to Senator Michael McDougall, former Attorney General. Michael McDougall, you campaigned successfully for a no vote in these referendums. You must be pleased this evening.
Well, I'm pleased for the people of Ireland that they have protected their constitution from two very unwise amendments being put forward by a government which couldn't explain the downside of either or the upside of either. And the people in Ireland are the owners of the constitution. We're a republic based on the principle of popular sovereignty. Their votes, by more than a million to less than a half a million, speak louder than anything I can say.
The message, though, goes around the world this evening that Ireland now retains a clause in its constitution which talks about women's duties in the home. Is that a positive thing?
Well, the message that was put forward by the Taoiseach that this would be a setback for Ireland is, in my view, a complete misstatement of the situation by Leo Varadkar. the people of Ireland know full well, and if they listen to the debates that happened on television, on radio and in the newspapers, they know full well that the Constitution never said that a woman's place is in the home. Yes, of course, we all have duties. Men and women have duties. And the Supreme Court has said that the reference to women having duties in the home was equally applicable to men.
But the fundamental Constitution doesn't say that, though.
The wording doesn't. But the Supreme Court had said that it was referable to both parents. And secondly, and much more importantly, the Constitution said that no woman should be obliged by economic necessity to leave her parenting duties in the home against her wishes. This was a pro-woman, a pro-family, pro-mother provision, which was badly misrepresented by a group of student union type politicians to be some kind of retrogressive anti-woman thing. And in the end, we were going to be asked, tomorrow is Mother's Sunday, we were going to be asked to take the only reference to mothers and the only reference to the contribution they make when they parent in the home out of the Constitution. And a lot of people said, hold it, why are we being asked to do that?
What do you put this result down to? Do you think that people knew firmly what they were voting on and simply didn't like it? Or was it that people were confused, they didn't understand? And as you put it during the campaign, if you don't know, vote no.
Well, I mean, that's a first principle. If somebody says change your fundamental law and they can't explain to you why, you should say no. But much more important than that, the people who have spoken emphatically. And the reason they have done that is that they believe, you know, marriage has a role in family. That families should be, ideally, they should be based on marriage, that we fully accept that there are some family arrangements which are not marriage-based, but that nobody, and this is the untruth which lay at the heart of the government's case, that nobody is discriminated against on that account. No mother in a single family is treated any differently from a married woman in relation to her child or the child in relation to the mother. Every child in Ireland, because of the Children Amendment was made some years ago, is totally protected. And all of this was confused and conflated by the government into a case that somehow there was something in the Constitution which was anti-woman. Far from it. What's in the Constitution is pro-woman.
You heard the minister there speaking about the leaking of the Attorney General's advice to the Ditch website and the impact of that. He says he didn't leak it. He's concerned about it and there might be an investigation. What's your own view of the leaking of that that advice from the AG?
Well, I am perplexed by that leaking, because I'll tell you why. The letter from the Attorney General was dated 3 days after the government at Cabinet had already decided on its wording. So it was a kind of a it was intended as a kind of a passport letter for ministers to use. It was addressed to Roderick O'Gorman. It was leaked as soon as the moratorium on broadcast media kicked in. It was aimed, in my view, at allowing people, and in particular there were Green Party members who immediately leapt on it, to say that the case for the CARE referendum was stronger than was being claimed by people like myself. And it was leaked to the Ditch, I think, in order to sanitise it, because the government would be ashamed to leak it to any more conventional mainstream media.
Well, that's your view, Senator, and you did hear the minister's response to that. But for now, Senator Michael McDougall, we thank you for joining us this evening. We do appreciate your time. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back with more after this.
RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back to our special programme on the family and care referendums. The care referendum is still being counted. Earlier, the family referendum was defeated by a 2-1 margin. 67.7% of people voted against that referendum. 32.3% voted in favour of the proposal. So why did people vote the way they did? Well, that's a question our reporter Gavin O'Callaghan was trying to find out when he canvassed voters at the ballot box at the polling centres yesterday. Let's hear what they told him.
I am going to vote no, but I am going to vote no because I will not vote for woolly-minded window dressing when I have absolutely no idea what it's likely to throw.
I voted yes on both. And what did you think about the referendums in general?
Well, all I can say is I hope it's a good turnout. Whatever way the vote goes, I think people should get out and vote.
I voted yes yesterday. I mean, the family one was a very simple one. I'm a single parent. My family isn't in our current constitution. The care one, it was a difficult choice, actually. There was compelling arguments on both sides with it. But I went with yes on that one again as well.
I know that I won't have problem for the first one. The second one, I agree probably with people that the wording could have been better. But I'll vote yes for both.
Well, it wasn't very clear. They gave us out a booklet and I read it and I thought, what do they mean? I went for the caring thing of it because we do need a lot more of that here since the government cut back on everything and it's usually carers that they cut back on.
Well, they're very vague, but they're probably an improvement on De Valera's. I'm going to vote yes on both occasions.
Yeah, I voted no, sort of. I didn't really understand most of it, so there's no point voting yes for someone that don't understand.
So I just read over it a couple of times, and what I've seen on Facebook and X, there's a lot of people are asking for yes, no, 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 yes, yes. So kind of between one thing and another, I made my mind up pretty much at this stage to which way I'm going. But it's not been influenced by the campaigns at all. I just don't listen to television or radio.
Do you mind telling me what you're going to vote?
Yes, no, I think.
I voted no to both.
And how did you feel about the referendums in general?
Just total lack of information, and that's why I voted. I don't vote for something I'm not fully aware of, and I read up everything I could, but I think they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes very quickly, trying to quick one.
Those were some voters in Dublin speaking to our reporter Gavin O'Callaghan yesterday. Let's get a word now with our political reporter Mary Regan, who's at Dublin Castle this evening. Mary, you heard the voters there giving their views. Have the politicians managed to get their heads around the reasons why there has been such a resounding no vote today?
No, Justin, they haven't. You know, I think one thing that they would say is that there are so many strands to why these referendums were defeated, and there are a myriad of reasons. And both the Taoiseach and Roderick O'Gorman, they both did doorsteps with the media here earlier on. They arrived into Dublin Castle, and their explanations or their sort of reasoning or pondering of where things went wrong was almost as confused, I guess, as the way people have described the referendum questions in of themselves. Roderick O'Gorman did sort of pass the buck a little bit. You know, he said there were sort of questions being pushed to the people, he said, during this campaign, and the incorrect interpretations had been made of those questions. But he said, you know, it was quite simple in the end. The government didn't manage to persuade the people. The Taoiseach was asked, did he have any regrets? And he said, you know, that's something that has to be considered another day. But I think there is a bit of reflection around not so much the campaign in of itself, but the way they came up with the wording in the first place, the way they overlooked the recommendation of the Constitutional Convention, the way they didn't go with what the Oireachtas Committee had advised on the wording, and that they evaded pre-legislative scrutiny in the first place, which would be the normal kind of process where these questions would be debated through the Dáil and the Seanad before the questions are finally agreed. And that could kind of, I suppose, you know, smoke out some of the issues before they emerge. But they didn't go through that process. So I think there will be a bit of reflection around that. The opposition also doing a bit of soul searching. You know, Ivana Bacic of the Labour Party was here. And she was, you know, both her and Mary Lou MacDonald really blaming the government, saying they went on a solo run on this one.
All right, Mary, stay with us. We'll have more from you shortly. With me in studio now is Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, law lecturer and author of a book on constitutional law. Jennifer, did the result surprise you today?
No, it didn't, because for both of the proposals that were put to the people, there were some very sensible questions. And those were around the Djerba relationship issue. You know, why are we not having just a referendum to remove that really vexatious article about women's duties in the home, to replace with care? Why couldn't it have just been three questions? So what effectively they were doing was they were changing four different articles in two questions, and they are substantial questions. And the general standpoint of the Irish public is, if we're not sure And if it relies on too much, giving too much goodwill to the government, the Irish people say no. Because, for example, the first divorce referendum, it was just, do you want divorce, yes or no? It needed legislation behind it. Irish people said no. When it went to the second one, and then the grounds were put there, the Oireachtas inquiries, the Shannon one, Irish people need to see it spelt out and not have any wooliness around it.
And this evening now, the definition of the family in the Constitution is one based on marriage, and the Constitution retains wording which talks about a woman's duties within the home. As a constitutional lawyer, how do you view that result?
Well, firstly, we've had the O'Meara case, which has broadened to some extent the definition of the family. That was the case where the widow's pension was granted to a man who was not married to his deceased partner. There is the children's rights referendum has passed. It is in there as the children's rights section. So there is stronger grounds there. Obviously, it's not the same as marriage, but there is more protections than what was there at the very start of the Constitution. And with the position of the women in the home, yes, there was good arguments from people saying, well, you know, women do work at home and it should be recognised, but I know of people who really wanted to remove that, but our carers saw the wording that was coming in and saying, I don't want to remove this thing that really annoys me to put in something very woolly that I don't actually particularly like. So you had some people in a complete bind of, I'm just going to have to vote no for the very article that I absolutely hate.
Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us and giving your analysis and expertise this evening. Let's talk now to Senator Tom Clonan, disability rights advocate who campaigned for a no vote in the CARE referendum. Tom Clonan, good evening. What is your reaction to tonight's results?
Good evening, Justin. Look, my principal feeling is one of relief. Because if that wording had been accepted by the Irish people, it would have set us back, I would say, to almost a 19th century view of how care should be provided to disabled citizens. And really, the wording flew completely in the face of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, specifically Article 19, which sets out that disabled citizens, whether it's neurodiversity, road traffic accident, acquired brain injury, whatever, they have a right to autonomous and independent life in the social, cultural, economic life of the Republic, and that they should not be forced to remain in the family home, which is most often the case in Ireland with elderly or ageing parents who go into crisis. And that's the situation that confronts me. My son, who's 22, he's a beautiful young man who wants to go out and live an independent life. This wording was toxic to his rights.
Do you have any regrets about campaigning for a no vote when the effect of that is going to be to retain wording in the Constitution which speaks about women's duties in the home?
Well, this is the classic ableist narrative. You do not subordinate the rights of an entire category of Irish citizens, that's disabled citizens, in order to remedy a defect elsewhere. That's an a priori narrative. I absolutely agree that anachronistic and outdated wording should be removed. I voted for repeal, I voted for marriage equality, but this was not an equality referendum.